If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the 128th Psalm. Psalm 128. And before we read it or look at it this morning, I wonder how many of you can quote with me, this isn't in the Bible, but how many of you know this? Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty together again. You know that, right? You know that.
Yeah.
Does anybody know who Humpty Dumpty is?
No.
See, now that's what the common prevailing thought is. Somebody earlier in the week told me the same thing. An egg. Humpty Dumpty is not an egg. Not an egg. Sorry. Now that's maybe what your mom told you. She wasn't lying to you. That's apocryphal. That's not true. Anybody else? Anybody a historian here in this room? Like history? See, Sister Edith, if you go back to the kitchen and you say, Sister Edith, Mama E, what's Humpty Dumpty? I bet she knows. Well, I don't bet anything because I don't love the world or the things that are in the world. But I dare say, is that okay? Yeah, I dare say she knows. Humpty Dumpty was a large cannon in England on top of a wall. And many years ago in the English Civil War, and in one of the battles, something blew out that wall and Humpty Dumpty came crashing down. And no matter who tried to fix that cannon, all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And so you can Google it along with Long Chair Larry and you'll probably find that I'm right, that Humpty Dumpty was indeed a cannon on top of the wall there in England. Now why do I tell you that? Because, well, and this isn't what it means. I want to tell you what the truth was before I tell you my story. But if I just look at that at face value, I see some guy walking down the block and he sees a wall. His name is Humpty Dumpty. He scales the wall. And he's sitting on top of that wall looking out on a beautiful sunshiny day. And he gets a little too close to the edge and he comes flying down that wall and boom, he crashes. And somehow or other, Mr. Dumpty thinks that fall of his, somehow or other, it's the fault of the government. The government's responsible for what has happened to me. And so he files a lawsuit against the class act or whatever it was against the government, and he starts to try to get a bill passed to help Humpty Dumpty out, a bailout program to help Mr. Dumpty or something like that to go along. But no matter who the king's horses or the king's men, through the act of Congress and he petitions to the Supreme Court, nothing could help. Nothing could help put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And now, that's my take on Humpty Dumpty, and that's, again, not the truth. But if you just think with me for a little while, and you look at our society and our world and the kingdom of this world, the governments of this world that try to put people back together again, they try to put societies back together again, they try to put this world back together again, and we're becoming a smaller world all the time, it seems. I don't mean literally smaller, but you know, it's not hard to get across to the other side of the world now, and you can do that. You can see people that are over there, Skype someone in the Philippines or wherever it may be, and it's a small world. But no matter where it is, it's broken people, it seems. Broken people trying to put broken people back together again. And see, all the governments and the king's horses and the king's men and the solutions of this world to solve the problems of this world, I don't think they'll ever be able to fix Humpty Dumpty. They'll never be able to mend the problems that we have. And different governments take different tacks and they think it's this way to do it and that way to do it. And I'm not for dictatorships and I'm not for socialism or communism. But I would tell you that democracy and capitalism, they're not the answer to the problems of this world either. It's broken people. Obama's bailout and this one's idea and FDR's this and that are solutions that are temporary at best. The problems in this world today stem from the heart. Greed is a terrible thing. And it's really greed that gets a lot of people and our government and our nation into the situation. You try to do what you can't do and spread it out. It's the greed of the human heart. And you can go on and on and on, and we try to, with broken people, fix the problems with broken remedies, and it'll never work. There is another kingdom. Sister Hofflander mentioned it. The kingdoms of this world are the kingdoms of darkness, in a certain sense, because they're under the control of the limited ideas and solutions that are man-made. And the only way we can solve the problems of the human heart and of the human life and of the societies in which we live is through another kingdom. We need another king. We need somebody else who's going to reign over us and who's going to take control of our lives and our hearts. I don't know how many of you here have dual citizenship. Anybody here? A dual citizen? Nobody? That's unusual. If I mention that at home and church, a lot of hands go up there. Home and church. Same thing. Yeah, Mariel, where are you a citizen of?
Ecuador.
And also the United States of America. And there are a lot of people that I know of that are dual citizens. But I think maybe I could convince all of you that you're dual citizens.
Yes.
You are? Where is your citizenship?
In heaven.
Oh, how about you, Sue? You a dual citizen? Yeah, okay. You have dual citizenship. You just didn't know it. See, you're in this world, and I guess most of you, if not all of you, are citizens of the United States of America. But you have a dual citizenship. You belong to the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God. You belong to the kingdom of His dear Son. And if you live according to the principles of the king, not the kingdom of this world, not the ideas and ideologies or philosophies of this world, because they're man-made and they're made by men that are broken, trying to solve the problems of the human heart that's broken. And broken people can't fix broken people. If blind people lead blind people, they both fall into the ditch. But the Lord has called us out of the kingdom of this world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. I don't care if you're in America or in Taiwan or where you are. We have a first love and a first desire to belong to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to find, or you find in this psalm. I believe that the Psalm 128, is a kingdom agenda, if I can call it that. It's the way to solve the problems of the human heart, of the family, of the nation, of the world. It's God's scope, His wide scope of what can be done to correct. How do you solve the problems? And I think it begins, and I'm only going to begin this morning with that first verse. Blessed are all who fear the Lord. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in His ways. It begins with an individual, every single one of us. Every single individual. It doesn't begin with the church. Oh, if only the church would be what the church should be, then you don't even get to the church till after you get to the family. But it begins with an individual. It begins with you and me, with our allegiance, with our citizenship being in heaven, with us belonging to the kingdoms of His dear Son. Onward, Christian soldiers marching as to war. Kingdoms rise and kingdoms perish. But there's a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and we belong to the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we fear our King, our God. Now, what does it mean when it says in that first verse to fear the Lord? Blessed are all. What does blessed mean? Let's start with that word. Happy. Okay, oh, how exceedingly happy. It's more than just a little happy. It's an exuberance. Oh, how exceedingly happy. Good, that's right. Is an individual, a man, everyone who fears the Lord. Now, what's it mean to fear the Lord?
Obey. Trust.
Obey. Trust. Anybody else?
Reverence.
Revere. I guess that about covers it, right? We stand in awe of Him. We reverence him. We revere him. We obey him. We trust him. Blessed are all those. Oh, how happy are the people who fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What is wisdom? Jesus, somebody said. Well, yeah, that's true, but let's break it down a little more than that. What is wisdom? The ability to do what? Blessed are those who fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And what does it mean to be wise? Or what is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to do what with life? Yeah, wisdom is the ability to take the kingdom principles, to assimilate those principles into your life, and by those principles of the king, because you're fearing and honoring, obeying, revering his word, you make the proper decisions and you guide your life and live your life according to those principles. That's what wisdom does. That's what wise people do. Wise people don't live according to what the world tells them to do. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. But wise people take this book, the Word of God, the principles of the Word of God, given to them by their king. And their king has spoken to them his word, and they are in awe of their king, and so they revere and honor his word and are obedient to his commands. Blessed are those. Oh, how happy are the people who fear the Lord. That doesn't mean you're afraid of him, you're hiding in the corner because he's going to wallop you, but you have a reverence for him, a love for him, an adoration for him. And because of the adoration that you have for him, you're going to, it goes on to say, you walk in his ways. His ways. His ways are not whose ways? Your ways. His ways are not the ways of this world. No, they're not. They're not. Oh, but they're smarter than I am. No. There's a wisdom that comes from above that God gives, and it far supersedes the wisdom of this world. No matter how smart they are, and educated they are, and prominent they are, and important they are, there's a wisdom that is far above any wisdom that this world may offer. James tells about it. And that wisdom that comes from above, if we can get that, if we can assimilate that into our hearts and lives, we will be blessed people, we will be happy people, we will be people who fear and honor him, and we'll be able to get the Humpty Dumpty, the brokenness, out of our lives, because there is a brokenness that every one of us knows of. We own that. And we need to be made whole. We need to be made new creations in Christ. We need to be remedied. And so we go to the shrink, or we go to our best friend, or we go to Dr. Phil or Oprah or worse. And we go to these things of the world, and we go to, people go to a horoscope, and people go to a fortune cookie or a fortune teller, or people go all over the place, or they just simply lean to their own understanding. I perish the sentence that begins with, I think. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what I think. I think this is right. Oh, well, who are you to think that this is right? You're just as broken as she is and that he is. Your ways don't lead to life. His ways do. Not what I think, but what does he think? And you know, if you look into this book and you walk in the ways of this book, the mind of Christ becomes your mind. And you begin to think his thoughts. And then you begin to live his life. And the life that you live in the flesh, you live by the faith of the Son of God. See, all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. But there is a king. And there is a kingdom. And if we follow the guide of the king, he will put our lives back together again. He will work in us. Brother Eric yesterday in the meeting in the morning talked about how we get cracks. And then we try to fill those cracks in from the outside in. And it doesn't do the job. It's not the repair that the king would make. Because when the king repairs you, he works from the inside out. He gets into the inner being where the hurt really starts, where the brokenness really emanates from, where the corruption or the attitudes or the false desires or the wickedness or the world and the flesh and the devil, that gets into the heart, that's in the soul. And you can't just veneer that away. You've got to let the King work in you from inside of your soul, inside of your mind, inside of your very being, from the bottom up, from the inside out, and He makes your life over anew. Oh, thank God that He does. And there's a difference then. There's a difference. You become whole. And you can try to find wholeness, a repair job. You can try to get it right by your own whatever ways you choose. But there's only one way. The Bible tells us there's only one way. And that is the fear of the Lord. Lord, You said, love not the world. Lord, that's Your word. I'm going to walk in that. What does that mean to me? What is the world? There it is in 1 John 2. And I'm only using that as an example because it was brought up in the meeting this morning. But there are so many ways that we can walk in His ways. There's, I think it was this morning, a prayer that was quoted from Psalm 25, where the psalmist says, show me Thy ways, O Lord. Lead me in Thy path and teach me. For Thou art the God of my salvation, and on Thee do I wait all the day. Lord, show me Your ways. Not my ways, Your ways. Show me Your ways, and Lord, teach me Your ways. Teach me Your ways, because they're so an antithesis to the ways of this world. If you don't believe it, just think of the what we call the keys of the kingdom. What are the keys of the kingdom? The principles of the King that He laid down for His disciples when they first came out. And He opened His mouth and He taught them, saying, what did He say?
Blessed are the poor in spirit.
That's backwards when it comes to the things of this world. I don't care if it's Iran, I don't care if it's Iraq, I don't care if it's China or the United States or Brazil or Poland or Russia or any place else. That's not the way of the world. The way of the world isn't blessed are the poor in spirit. The way of the world is you've got to be a self-made man. You've got to be a strong man. You've got a poverty of spirits out the door. It's dog eat dog. The strongest, survival of the fittest. You crawl all over all the other rats to get to the top rung of the ladder. And Jesus comes on the scene and He says, okay, boys, here you go. We got another kingdom going on here. And I'm the initiator of that new kingdom. And the kingdom of heaven, John said, is at hand. And here I am. And here it goes. You want to walk in my ways? Here are the principles. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I wonder if Peter did a double take. I wonder if you do a double take. Poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the pure in heart. Pure in heart. My whole thing is see how dirty I can get without being too dirty so I can still get to heaven. Pure in heart. That's the kingdom principle. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And so on and so on. Blessed are you when you're reviled and persecuted for righteousness. And so on and so on. They're different than these ideas and the ideologies of the world. Oh, thank God we belong to another King.
Thank you, Lord.
And we are in another kingdom.
Thank you, Lord.
And unfortunately, a lot of you didn't know you were. You thought you only belonged to America or Ecuador in America or Taiwan. But there's another kingdom that I think all of us belong to by the grace of God. It's the kingdom of our Lord and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And everyone, blessed are those who fear the Lord. Everyone who fears the Lord, who walk in His ways. You will eat, let me just close with the second verse. It goes along with the individual, the everyone, the person. You will eat the fruit of your labor. You know, there's something about it. My wife has a garden in the yard, a vegetable garden. And every once in a while, she's really excited. Some of you have gardens too, I'm sure, in your yard. I hope somebody's watering them while you're here at camp, because if not, you won't have anything by the time you get home. But every once in a while, she'll pull something out. These are homegrown tomatoes. These are peas, or these are potatoes. The potatoes were about this big, but they're my potatoes. I grew them myself. These are my corn. We had corn from We've got three, four corn stalks in our yard now. And we ate the corn right off. The corn we had the other day, wasn't that delicious?
Yes.
It was scrumptious, but there's no corn like the corn that we got from our garden. It was our corn. And you know, even if it tasted lousy and had a few spots missing and whatever, that didn't matter. That was ours. And you know, there's something about eating the fruit of your own labor. There's something about having success from your own plantings and reaping what you've sown and enjoying it. There's a satisfaction there. And I think that's what the Lord is trying to get across. You walk in His ways. You belong to His kingdom. You're really a happy camper when that's the case. You're going to eat the fruit of your own labor, and your blessings and prosperity are going to be yours. And I don't know about you, but we're getting back to that blessing, that prosperity, that success that we had in Joshua chapter 1. And here it is again, because you know why? Because He wants you to be prosperous, and He wants you to have good success. And the prosperity and the good success is not the ways of this world. You don't quantify it the way the world looks at success or prosperity. But there's an economy of God, and in His kingdom's success is they walk with Me in white. They're worthy. In His kingdom, success is measured in souls. And the investment of in souls, of time, of labor, of energy. He doesn't know anything about dollars and cents or yen or pesos or whatever in heaven. That all stays right here in this world. And it makes this world go round, and it makes the kingdoms of this world go round. But it doesn't make the kingdom that you and I are citizens of go round. Having food and raiment therewith to be content. Oh, thank God we belong to another kingdom, and His ways are getting into our hearts. And there's a prosperity and a success and a blessing and an enjoyment. And so I want to come further into that kingdom. And that's the beginning in this psalm, at least. And the whole psalm, as I say, I believe is an unfolding of what God wants to do. If He can be the king of His people, this is what that kingdom would look like. And it begins with you as an individual, as a person. So, Lord, we pray that You will help us, every individual one of us, to walk in Your ways. Lord, not our ways, not what we think, but Lord, Your ways. Teach me Your ways, Jesus. Lead me in Your truth and teach me, teach me, teach me, dear Jesus. Because I want my way to be prosperous and good success. I want the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow. And we all do, Lord. And I pray that everyone here this morning will be a people who fear God. And learn to live life in accordance with the will of God laid out in the Word of God. We pray, Jesus, that You will give us that blessing this day for Your name's sake. Lord, we pray that we might be those soldiers that are in this conflict and in this battle while here on this side. But Lord, that we would take unto ourselves the armor of God and go forward and stand. Because as the song says, kingdoms come and kingdoms go. And Lord, Humpty Dumpties are all over the place. They've fallen off the wall. They're all broken up. And nobody knows what to do, and nobody knows how to fix it. Not all the king's horses, not all the king's men. But Lord, we thank You, dear Jesus, that we have a kingdom, Lord, that's sure, that's steadfast, and every other kingdom will shake and will totter and will fall. But the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ will be forever and forever and forever. And we are citizens, thank God, we are citizens of that kingdom. By Your grace, and we thank You for it, Lord Jesus. Amen.